Well, I'm thrilled to be here with you all. Father, we thank you for what you're going to say. Give us ears to hear this glorious day. Amen. You know, the Lord really, yesterday, I'm not going to talk about this today. I did it like twice yesterday and wrote about it. But whenever people quote that verse in Hebrews 13, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They usually talk about that. Usually charismatics are the one talking about that, to prove that signs and wonders are still for the day. He's the same Jesus. And of course, that's a great application because it represents anything that you could want to apply that scripture to. But that's not exactly the context he's talking about, but it can be used that way. It just simply says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Christlikeness is the result of the activity of Jesus in our life. Not trying to be like Jesus, but Jesus being himself. And he's the same on Mondays. He's the same on Tuesdays. He's the same when everything goes the way that you thought it was going to go. He's the same when things aren't going the way you thought they were going to go. He's the same when there's laughter. He's the same in deep hardship and tragedy. Jesus is the same. He's always in the same. He always has the same disposition. Jesus never has an attitude, and he doesn't do moodiness, regardless of circumstances and situation. That's really a powerful thing. And so Jesus is the same on Tuesdays as he is on Mondays, as he is on Fridays, and he doesn't look forward to the weekend so he can get a break. He just is the same. The scripture from Luke 9 has a lot of significance to me because the Lord's been speaking to me a lot, his kind intentions. And there's a scripture in Romans 2:4 that we all know. It says it's the kindness of God or the goodness of God that leads a person to repentance. That's always cool because we think of it in terms of our own relationship with the Lord. We fail, God's not angry with us. He's not put off with us. And his kindness draws us to repentance. The fact that he's still being kind to us brings us to a place of surrender and repentance again. That in the place of confession to him, owning our stuff, he's kind. Even if he's corrective, he's going to be kind. But it means more than that. I saw this last night through somebody else, something I read. And that's really God's plan, his plan of evangelism. When you and I are so filled up, we're so saturated with the goodness and the kindness of God, that's the abundant life. It's so abundant. It's just overflowing. Kind of like yesterday, Ruth would give away, having been satisfied, she had leftovers. And so when you and I are so abiding in Christ, so trusting in and receiving his kindness, and we overflow with that, it's the kindness of God that humanity encounters when they encounter us. It's what's going to win the world. It brings a person to God. Whether I pray for them to be healed or just my disposition and attitude towards them, it's the kindness of God. And Christ is living in you. And so Jesus is going to demonstrate through you his kindness, not his grumpiness, grouchiness, moodiness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I was reminded of something that happened years ago. And I was, there was a person who had really wronged me and a couple other people. And the result of it, and they never really owned their stuff, and they don't live here. And I just saw them on Facebook recently. And I knew there was some subtle thing in me that wasn't Jesus, and sort of a low-grade fever of sin, you know, low-grade sin. But I knew something was stinky there. And then I saw some of the people that I knew that I'm still close to, like responding and corresponding. And that bothered me because I'm thinking, Lord, my sense of justice was, I realized, didn't know that was going on inside of me, didn't recognize it, was that this person, I devalued that person. And that person, it wasn't right that people were wanting to treat that person with respect and because of what they'd done. I was offended, obviously, with him and with the people who thought it would be cool just to keep being pal, hanging with him, being with him, just even verbally, that kind of thing. And the Lord spoke in me and he said, Chuck, I'm not offended with him. And he said, I'm offended for him Because the thing that happened to me, it happened to others over a period of time, decades. And he said, and I don't stay away from him. Because if I did, how could I change him? I thought, wow. And as he said, you know, and the Lord said, it's my kindness that draws someone to repentance. And I was able to repent of my non-Christ-like disposition and surrendered it to Christ, so I can now feel the way he feels and thinks the way he thinks about this person. As, again, we've used this in the context of Judas, but the Lord was saying to me again, he said, the true test of the authenticity of your Christianity isn't how much you love me, but how much you love that person. Because if you love me, the overflow is going to be obvious. Also, there was a situation years ago where I'd realized that I was staying kind of at arm's length with a person emotionally because they had hurt me, had done some things. And the Lord began, he spoke, and he said to me, he said, he said, Chuck, my goodness won't allow me to be at arm's length with this person. And I knew he was calling me to repentance. But I said, but Lord, I don't trust this person. And here's what he said, I don't trust him either, but I'm trusting myself. They may blow it again. They may act up again, but I'm trusting myself to them. Because that's what very few people who the Jewish people were more offended with than tax collectors. Because tax collectors were Jewish people too, but they worked for the Romans. You know, kind of like in World War II when the Nazis took over like Krakow and places in Poland, and they would make the Jews of our neighborhoods wear those little yellow stars, and they were just treated terribly, but they would give jobs to other Jews who were willing to act as really cruel policemen towards their own people. We're pretty wealthy because they did that. And so they were very much despised by the Jewish people. And so that's Zacchaeus. And he entered in, he was passing through Jericho. Behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer, not just a tax gatherer, but he was the boss, a chief tax gatherer. So he was especially despised. And he was rich among a slave nation. Israel was a slave nation then. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable because of the crowd, for he was a person of small stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. But he was about to pass through that way. So the crowds were there. This is chapter 19. So this is near the end of his life. And a lot of miracles have been done. And when he came to an area, crowds would follow him. And Zacchaeus wanted to see what this was all about. He wanted to see this Jesus and climbed up in a tree so he could. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. I mean, of all those people, he stops and looks up and says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. For today, I must stay at your house. Nobody wanted anything to do with this man. Kept him at arm's length, not just emotionally, but physically. We're in judgment of him and critical of him. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Why did he do that? Because he knew that this man was supposed to be a man of God of some sort. And this man of God wanted to be in his home with him. Nobody wanted to be with him. And when they saw it, the people around, they all began to grumble, like I did, about people corresponding with this person who had so wronged me. They all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to the guest of a man who is a sinner. Fancy that. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, listen to this, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Jesus said to him, today, wholeness is the word salvation, has come to this house, for he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus didn't confront the man about how he had cheated people, defrauded them, how he had treated the Jewish people. Jesus didn't tell him he needed to give everything back. Jesus didn't do anything. He just was kind to him and was good to him. Wanted to be with him in his home, no matter what other people thought about him. Because if Jesus stayed away from him, how could he change him? And because of his kindness, spontaneously, the man surrendered his life to God. I'll give away half of what I own to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, and of course he had defrauded many, I will give them four times as much. That's an amazing act of surrender. It's an amazing act of worship to God. But it wasn't the result of being condemned. It was because Jesus wanted to be with him. See, that's what God does. That's who Jesus is. It is his kindness that draws us to repentance. And if that same Christ lives in us, and he's the same yesterday, then it's not just about signs and wonders. It's the signs and wonder of a love like that, right? Who may not trust you that you're going to always get it right again, but he'll trust himself to you, whose goodness won't allow him to keep you at arm's length. That's just amazing to me. And that's the story of Zacchaeus, who salvation, what is salvation? It says, come to this house. What does salvation look like? The kindness of God in Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.